Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. Channel. Today I'd like to spend some time talking about Work. Now, Work is a special composition for me because it's the title track of the recording that I made of Thelonious Monk's complete works. And I don't know, it's a great composition. There's so much to think about and to learn from it. It was recorded in 1954, just once by Monk, in 1954, September 22nd, I think, with Percy Heath and Art Blakey. And it was released on the album Thelonious Monk with Sonny Rollins, although Sonny Rollins is not on this track, it's just a trio track. And it goes something like this. It's a D flat. Standard length, 8 bars each section and all that. What's interesting about it is kind of the way it moves around. And the way that I play it on the record is actually I sit with each phrase and I kind of let that be an improvisational section. It's kind of an unusual way to play the tune. But it sounded like that to me when I started studying it a little more deeply, each one of these phrases has kind of its own characteristic. And I'll show you, well, I'll show you my fingerings for the melody, which is a little tricky. And in the process of that, just show you how I think about each little section. So the first section, D flat. And I play this almost like, if you ever listen to Indian music, there's a section of the raga called an alap, where it's like a kind of an opening section that's out of time, like a rubato type of thing, where it's exploring a rag or this, you know, what we might think of as a scale in Western music. And I thought it would be nice to do that with this opening phrase. I'm playing it here. I'm gonna move the camera a bit so you can see my hands better. To me, it has this sound. And this, this is like a G flat melodic minor, but it's centered around D flat. And so this is, it sounds kind of like, but what's interesting is when you take a melodic minor scale and you start from the fifth degree, it's symmetrical around that point. So what I mean is this, let's take the notes of G flat melodic minor. Maybe I should call it F sharp. I'm gonna call it G flat. G flat, A flat, and this is, I guess, B double flat. Maybe F sharp is better. Honestly, I never thought about the spelling of it, but I guess F sharp is gonna be better because we want to have double flats. So we'll say F sharp, G sharp, A, B, C sharp, D sharp, E sharp. We do have an E sharp and an F sharp. We can't have an F natural and an F sharp because, you know, that would be weird. But look at if you start it from the fifth degree and you go up, you have a note going up a whole step. And you have a note going down a whole step. And you have, and if you keep going, two whole steps going up, two whole steps going down, two whole steps and a half step going down, two whole steps and a half step going down. Like a whole beginning of a major scale, kind of. Going up, whole step, half step, whole step. Right? Step up there. So it's symmetrical the whole way. You can go as far as you want. Sometimes easier to see on like a piano. But a major scale is like that also around the second degree. Like C major is symmetrical around D. And you can see that very easily on the piano by just looking at D and seeing how everything kind of goes out from there. But in any case, on this one, I like this scale. Sorry, wrong key. Because it kind of comes from the melody. From that much of the melody. That's the beginning of the melody. The whole melody of the first phrase goes. Now this has some notes that are outside of that. Has a G natural there. In fact, that's the only note that's outside is that G natural. But I'm taking it from this part of the phrase. So I might mess around, and on the recording I do this for quite a while. I mean, this is a long track, so I kind of establish this key center. Let's start exploring this scale. You can do symmetrical moves. up above D flat, you can do below. You can go up here. This is symmetrical around D flat. D flat, F, F sharp. Sorry, I should be saying the sharp, C sharp. I always think of it as D flat because of the key signature of the tune is like D flat major, not C sharp major. The second phrase, so sorry, let me play a little cleaner. I'll play from the first phrase into the second phrase so you know you hear how it goes. 1, 2, 3, 4. So that whole thing, this sounds like it could be a little groove, like the fingering, by the way, I didn't really talk about that. I'm using an open string there. I mean, I could do it with the fingering the B natural, but putting the open string gives me time to grab these. I don't know, I might have done it too fast to see, so. Oh. That's how I do the first phrase. And then here I'm using the B natural again. Doing a hammer on. 16th note, it's pretty fast. If I pick it all, could pick it all. I like to be a little more fluid. It's not easy to get all four notes. However you feel like it. In any case, though, part I want to focus on for the groove is this part. This is like a... So that part is like a... It's like an F-sharp... F-sharp 7 kind of sound, you know? And... this note. So this to me all sounds kind of like octatonic, like a diminished scale. So I think on the recording I'd kind of riff around in that. Establish this. Kind of fun, you know. I'm just coming back to that, this thing. I'm kind of playing a couple bars or four bars or something and trying to come back to that, you know, in time. That's the second phrase. So we got... I might change that to picking. Okay, so what is this? Another hammer-on. I'm playing A, D, E flat, F. And then F sharp, G. So this is... like an F9, F7. That slides down to F sharp, and then a G sharp and an E. It's like an E7. Now this is clearly like an E flat. So the chords there are like F7, E7, to E flat. And I'm going to discuss more the chords and how to solo, how I think about soloing on this tune later on. This is more about the fingering and the theory. So I thought this would be fun to play some phrases that just end that same way and kind of, because these are two dominant chords coming into E flat. That could be any number of dominant chords. Like instead of F7, E7, E flat, I could make the F7 a B7, for example. I could make it instead of a E7 going to E flat, I could make it a D flat 7. That'd be a different dominant, and I could say like A flat 7, D flat 7, E flat. Right? I could do a long chain of dominants. I could go I just did a what did I do? I did D7, D-flat 7, G-flat 7, B7, E7, E-flat, E-flat major. So I'm doing kind of like circle of fifths. Like if I did a long circle of fifths, I could say, let's say I started on like, you could just kind of go backwards, like start on like A-flat. A-flat, D-flat, F-sharp, B, E, to E-flat, you know. And mess around with this sort of idea of, like, just stuff that goes to E-flat, you know, whatever it might be. So far we've got that's the last phrase of the A section. That goes, it's going from E flat 7 to like a D7. Like an arpeggio of, that's going to D7. Playing, it's kind of like an A minor 6, A minor 7. I like it here because I got to get this more thirds on minor thirds on the top. So the fingering I like is starting 7th position. I'm hammering on here. Thirds, then a little chromatic line, and I kind of continue that chromatic idea. Work my way back down to D flat somehow with some chromatics, you know. So in those four phrases, I have like this melodic minor sound, kind of alap. Raga alap type of deal, a groove in F sharp, like octatonic, diminished sound, and then a dominant chain thing that ends in E flat, and then a chromatic thing. So I find that to be kind of an interesting variety of sounds to get just in four phrases. Thank you. the second A is the same thing. Let me play it in time. Bridge. This is kind of like a 2-5-1 to C, except it doesn't really go to C major. It goes to like a C dominant. So D 11th, D sus kind of sound. Playing a G7 with a sharp 11. And then kind of a tricky little phrase here. 1, 2, 3, 4. 2, 3, 4. So I'm playing E, B flat, E, and then sliding up to F. Up to F sharp. Of the bridge. E minor over C, or C half diminished. This is, you can get this any kind of way. I kind of would tend to go and grab with a thumb, although it's not that easy for a lot of people. So more minor thirds on top. So get it after. You can try and get it at the same time, or you could try it like this. Change the fingering. I don't really like to do that. It's hard for me to do. So I want to slide around. And then. So that's the last phrase of the bridge. It's like. Seven. And it's funny, these two things switch. So from the E7 to going to a kind of an A7 augmented or something. And then that slides down to here. To an A flat 7. So I'm going to go through that slow. So, so from the flat minor over C. That's easy. We've heard that before in tunes like plenty of tunes. But in this particular key, yeah, E flat minor over C. Or so this is that kind of sound. Going to an F7, kind of with a flat 9. You could maybe, you know, grab another thing. You can grab the third in there if you want. It's hard to get it, or you could do it up here. You can do it there, but I like the low note. And then it goes from there. This is an E7. Note of that I'm hitting in the third and the ninth, which is a G sharp and an F sharp, and then the G sharp goes up to A and the F sharp goes down to F. Or maybe I should say E sharp because it's kind of an A7. Six here, which is the from the G to the E flat or D sharp. That's the move. And then down to this. Now this sounds almost like when we did earlier, but it's not quite the same because it's not. That's in the key of E flat. That's A flat with F down to G and E flat. But this one has an A natural. It's more like a whole tone sound. Right. That's the last chord of the bridge. I like to play. It's like a A flat 7 with a sharp 5 and a flat 9. I like this voicing. It's pretty close to what Monk plays. I'm playing A flat, G flat, B double flat, or A natural, you know. But it's a flat 9, so it's technically the B double flat. The 5th up here is an E flat, and open E is a sharp 5. So. To just keep practicing. Oh. Whole bridge is. Oh, sorry. Tempo you feel like, but kind of a medium tempo, kind of where Monk has it, is like 2, 3. This is already almost half an hour long, so I'm going to make a second video, part B, where I talk about soloing on this tune and how the harmony works a little bit, you know, as far as I can tell. All right. Hello, welcome to Work, part 2. So in this video, I'd like to continue talking about work and think about some ways for soloing over these changes. Okay, so it's mostly dominant chords. So we're starting on a D-flat 7. Now the melody implies some other things. especially that A natural. But, you know, basically D-flat 7. To an F-sharp 7. So we're going to, starting to go through like a circle of fifths. And then F, E, moves a little faster. F, E, E-flat. Into a D. Now, I'm talking about like all the extensions and stuff you might put on these chords. I'm just talking about the basic kind of structure. So, so we got D-flat, F-sharp, and then down chromatic. So how does that work? It just comes right back to D-flat again. You know, it's all what I would call a circle of fifths or dominant chains. You know, one dominant can go to another. Now, we know the dominants can move in certain ways, right? So, like, typical circle of fifths would be D-flat, G-flat, B, E, A, D, G, C, F, B-flat, E-flat, A-flat, D-flat, G-flat, B, and so on, E, A, D. But within that dominant chain, you could do substitutions. So, like, for, instead of moving up by a fourth or down by a fifth, which is what this is, you could also move down by semitones. You can put one of those anywhere because it results in the same thing. Like if I said D flat seven C seven B seven instead of D flat seven F sharp seven B seven, you know, it ends up in the same place. It ends up with the same tritone in the chord. Bass note, and so on. You don't need to go through 12 chords to get back to where you started because you can jump. You can kind of go halfway across the circle. I think about it. If you think about the circle of fifths as like a circle, you could jump across the circle also instead of going all the way through it. Meaning you could switch by tritone. So that's what happens here. The circle of fifths, and then here when it jumps to F, that's jumping across the circle of fifths because you're going from G flat to F, you know. G flat is like at 6 o'clock on the circle and F is at like 1 o'clock, right? So instead of going from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, it goes from 6 o'clock to 1 o'clock. I don't know if that makes sense, but if you draw a little clock, you'll see what I mean. So you know, 7 and 1 o'clock are equivalent, 6 and noon are equivalent kind of sounds, and so on. So you could do that. Now he jumps again by going to E. So he jumps back, you know, as if it was a normal progression, because instead of F sharp, F, E, it could go F sharp, B, E, you know, and there are many tunes like this. The one I did before called Skippy is like a huge version of this, where it goes. So that has a whole bunch of stuff like that. And this one is a smaller version. Can't decide what's the best fingering. Open string or no open string. That's F sharp 7. Then when you come here, when you come to a... So it gets to E flat, right? E flat is on the opposite side of the circle thing, you know. And then you get to D, which is on the regular path. Like if you had gone straight circle fifths, it'd be. So I just went straight circle fifths, but instead of doing circle fifths, he does some chromatics with the F natural and the E flat. And these go faster. F, E, E flat. flat for a bar and the D for two bars. And you can see the D can just jump across the circle fifths and go right back to D flat. So this whole thing is like a continuous cycle of fifths. But they're not all the same length. It's like two bars, what is it? Two bars, two beats. One bar, two bars. That's what's happening, and if you understand that, then you can do all those other substitutions. You know, like if I played it straight through circle of fifths, I just played soloed over, imagining that I'm playing D flat 7 to F sharp 7 to B7 to E7 to A7, you know, which is, you know, a more conventional progression, actually, but that against the regular tune sounds kind of dissonant, right? And there are other moves as well, because there are two other dominants besides those two for every move, but I don't need to get into all of that. If you're interested in that, check out my book, Fundamentals of Guitar. But that's a whole other realm of theory having to do with diminished scales. But this is enough for now. And then the bridge. Well, this is more conventional, I guess. It's like a D minor G7, so it's like a 2-5. Ooh, kind of a whole tone sound, I think. Because he has this sound. The sharp 11 gives you a whole tone sound. Generally, if I hear that sound, I'm going to be more in the whole tone world. Opposed to when I hear like in the other part of the tune where it goes because of this half step in it, that to me lends itself more to the octatonic sound, the diminished sound. If it was that, okay. So, bridge. And then it goes to kind of a C dominant instead of a C major, because you might expect. Major-ish thing, but it doesn't go to that. It goes to a C dominant. Again, another whole tone. So in a way, you're switching from one whole tone scale to the other. So if you think, I might think if I'm going from a G7 with a sharp 11 to a C7 with a sharp 11, I'm going to the whole tone scale that's just a half step away in either direction. So the whole tone scale associated with a G7 with a sharp 11 would be like, you know, A, B, C sharp, D sharp. When I get to C7, it's ones like B flat, C, D, E, F sharp, G sharp, B flat. So anything I play on this G7, I can move by a half step either direction, and it'll work, you know, sort of. So. Work better than others, but that the concept is there. And then this is a typical kind of what you call a minor 2-5, or technically a 4-5, you know, because it's an E flat minor over C, a C in the bass, so E flat minor 6. To an F7. With a flat 9, you know, whatever you typically play on that. I think about, for this C half diminished, I think about E flat minor is the sound. Technically E minor, E flat minor 6. Not a Aeolian kind of minor, but a Dorian kind of minor. And then to an F7. And I'm playing kind of a diminished. Because of this sound. To me, this is definitely... So I'm thinking E flat minor to a kind of a, you know, F diminished, F, G flat, A flat, that scale, A natural, B natural. This kind of thing. And then it has this funny little chord progression at the end. So that's like... E7 to an A7 to an A flat 7, so more circle of fifth stuff, right? So from the F7, it's just coming down in a dominant chain. So boom, boom. So the basic chords on the bridge: D minor, G7 sharp 11, C7 sharp 11, two bars, E flat minor, F7. E7, A7, A flat 7. So that's the concept, and so it's not that complicated, but there's many, many options. There's many, many options, and I think the melody kind of invites you to explore some of those wild options that he does, you know. Some of these dominant chords, think about the quality of the dominant chords. Are they more like a diminished sounding dominant, meaning like, hey, I have like a natural 6 and a flat 9 type of thing? Or are they more like a whole tone sounding thing, meaning they have like a sharp 11, natural 9, you know, sharp 5 kind of sound, you know? Because when I play this... This is a special case. In the beginning, it's kind of like a dominant, you know, with a flat 6 or something. If you really want to stick with what the melody's doing, but, you know. You know, what's funny, now that I just thought of the fact that another song with a bunch of dominant chords and a chain is nice work if you can get it. Let's see, if I played it in the same key, what would that be like? Probably not, but if it's in D flat, that would start on F7. Oh. Then it goes. Thank you. there's something to that, maybe. Or maybe it's just an idea, but these dominant chains, that starts in a different way. But so many songs have that concept in them. It's a nice thing to kind of think about as an option for soloing. And I do quite a bit of that when I'm trying to, like, come up with some alternate ways to get through chord changes. I just think about, where am I going to go? And I could put a bunch of different dominant chords in front of that to get there. You know, you have to kind of time it out right, like how they do in the rhythm changes. You can start on F sharp. So instead of doing the regular thing, you start on F sharp 7. Thing. I think about these songs is kind of like that, although this the work itself is kind of uneven in the way it gets through it, because it has different lengths of how long the chords are. Interesting for you, and let me know in the comments if you have any questions about that. I hope it was clear. All right, later. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar, and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading, we work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.